This is going to be unforgettable. And I said at the beginning of the program, and I'm going to repeat it now because I'm really tired of this. I don't want to see you're all entitled to your opinions. I understand that. I'm not talking about you regulars, but anyone out there. You want to think there were crisis actors involved. You want to think that there was fake blood involved. You want to think that there were just blanks being shot. You're complaining about no bodies, no blood. I don't want to hear it. I don't want any emails. I don't want to hear it. I'm sick of it. What you saw happen a week ago was as real as I am right now speaking to you, and you are right there listening to me. It was deadly. It was horrific. It was a genocidal attack on conservative white Christian America. Highly sophisticated, highly organized, and very efficient. As I've told you before, I have sources. One, a former employee at the Mandalay Bay Hotel, who still has friends there, and they're not at the bottom. These are well-placed people. Everyone knows that this was a coordinated multi-shooter operation. All the employees know it. They also know that they better not say anything about it, or they could lose their jobs. Las Vegas is all about business. It's all about money. You know, I worked there for almost 3 years as a news director and anchorman at the ABC TV station, so I knew what was going on. This is all about business. The genocidal attack on those innocent people is bad for business. Las Vegas has lost God knows how many millions. We can't guess. If there were to be one more attack right now, Las Vegas would drop to its knees. And it would take a long time to get back up. They, you know who they are trying their damnedest to keep that absurd lone gunman crap afloat and viable. It ain't going to happen. It's too late. There's too much information out there from people who are caring Americans. Brand Thornton is his name. Brand, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you very much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Let's talk about last Monday. What happened, right?
My nephew was there. His wife was there. And then another nephew's wife was working there that night as a bartender.
Right.
So, you know, it's a big event. There's 23,000 people that go there. Wonderful entertainment. And that was, the whole idea is just go there and have a good time. This is a country western town for the most part.
Yes, yeah, sure.
And that's a big event. So my nephew and his wife, they went there. And, initially when the shooting started, they were a little bit in denial like everybody else that was there. They thought it was fireworks. My nephew told me directly. He said, I thought for sure it was fireworks. And then the screaming started and they started seeing people dropping. And all of a sudden it clicked in. These are not fireworks. So they took off running, and it's important to understand they're running east. And
now, let me set this up a little bit. We're looking up at the hotel now in our mind's eye. All of us just look up at the hotel. You know what it looks like. It's night. Let's say that that's looking west. We're going to run east away from that hotel with all the people who are in total panic. So they're running away from the shooters. They're running, as you look at the stage, to the left of the stage. They're running to the east. All right, take it away from there.
I'm going to interject something here real quick. Because the shooting was coming in multiple directions, this added to the confusion. They were initially running east. There was shots coming from all directions, shots coming from the east rather than the west. So they decided to drop down, okay? So William covered his wife, and it just kind of clicked in, no matter what, this is still not a safe place. So he kind of did a push-up, but because he was on top of her, he actually had a much bigger angle, probably closer to a 30-degree angle facing the east as he was coming up, and that's when he was hit. It entered just above his left kidney, just below the ribs, traveled between his left lung and his rib cage, and exited in his upper chest. Now, if the shooting was coming from the west, which would be behind him,
right?
And you know, you keep hearing it's 32 stories, but it's much higher than the 320 feet because the rooms don't actually start until they get above the whole casino, the dead space above the casino where they run all this duct work, and then even office space above that. So you've got to add on about 60 feet. So you're actually up about 380 feet. You calculate that angle. That angle comes out real close, 19-20 degree angle from the 1,100 feet from the where the concert was. So the only way that the way that bullet traveled through his body is he would have had to have, rather than his head and shoulders up at a 30-degree angle, it would have to be his butt and legs up at a 30-degree angle.
Got it.
That can't happen. So the shot came, the shot that hit him did come from the west, but it had to be somebody on their knees shooting. So that's a very, very important part of this whole thing.
Right. Now, okay. Let me go back. Hold on.
Sure.
He's going to get on top to protect her, right? So he's
yes.
He's doing a push-up to get ready to do that. And at that point, a bullet enters his back, somehow didn't kill him, and exited high on his chest. Okay, we got that. There's no way in my mind that a shooter, even on the fifth or sixth floor, could have had that kind of trajectory to make a wound like that. It had to be somebody on the ground, at ground level. We have a videotape allegedly showing someone with a rifle discharging it into the fleeing concert goers. This would have had to be something on that order. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Exactly. And he would have had to been on his knees. If the guy standing up and shooting, the angle still is just not going to work. Once he's down on his knees, now all of a sudden the whole thing comes into perspective, and that would work. So I don't know if that's that particular person that we see on the video that shot him. I've asked William to try to look at that and to see if that would have been, he would have been in that line of fire. William is still really traumatized by this whole thing. He's having a very hard time talking about it. I don't think so from what I know, because that was in front of the stage, and that he would have been south and east of the stage. So
well,
William told me, one thing he told me, he said, Uncle Bran, the shots were coming from everywhere. So who knows? We know there were shots coming from the east. Now, I will tell you that story. After he got hit, he told his wife, we got to get out of here and run.
This bullet, wait a minute, Bran, hold on. He had just taken a bullet that went through his torso, exited the front, and he's still ambulatory. That's called adrenaline, I guess, huh?
Well, it's either that or survival instinct. You know, he had his wife there, which he loves.
Mm-hmm.
And the bullet just narrowly missed her. She got a face full of blood from when the bullet hit him. So mm-hmm. it had to have just barely missed her face and head.
Mm-hmm.
So amongst all this, he says, we got to go. We got to go now. So then they take off running. She is just on his left. He's holding his chest. There's another gal just on her left, okay?
Three of them, right?
She told me this story, and I actually had her repeat it several times.
This is your nephew's wife is telling you the story.
Kimberly.
Okay.
Kimberly, yes.
Right.
She said just as she turned to look at her, this girl took a bullet in the face and killed her instantly. She piled up face first. They paused just for a second to see if they could render any help. Kimberly said, she's dead. Let's just go. I asked Kimberly, I said, did you see any blood on the back of her head? And she goes, no, and she is blonde. And I would have seen blood if there was blood there. This girl was also running east. She took a bullet in the face from the east. So now we're talking, he got shot from the west, and this girl got shot from the east. So there's obviously two shooters right there.
Well, we start with two and we build from that. This poor girl, the three of them running, again, to the east. I want everyone to focus on that. Was shot in the face from the east. And this is just moments after Brand's nephew was shot from the west, down low, right through his torso and out the front of his chest when he's laying on the ground. Think about the angles. All right, go ahead, Brand, please.
Well, what a real point of interest in all this is there's two towers that were directly in front of them. Now, those towers have been taped off with police tape, okay? And there's some other places that have been taped off. They're under investigation. I'll just mention another one real quick, which is north, almost parallel, but north to those two towers, real close to Hooters. It is a building under construction. It has been taped off. It is also under investigation. So
those are crime scene locations to the east.
Yes.
And they're all taped off. Okay. So we'll make sure.
They're all taped off. And in those towers, there is elevators that go all the way to the top. It would make a perfect shooter's nest. So I believe that's where this other gal got shot in the face. And there was other people that I have not talked to but have reported that they were shot from bullets coming from the east. Also, one young gal was running, and she put her video up, or somebody did for her, and she was shot in that she's running east in the front of the kneecap. So those are just three. There's a lot more stories, of course. There's over 527 people are wounded. So there's a lot more stories about that coming out. It looks like, from everything that we know now, that it was pretty much pretty close to a triangulation where people would run one way, shots would come from that direction, they'd turn around and run the other way, shots would come from that direction, they finally would just drop and do the best, crawl under anything they could find, or just lay on the ground and hope and pray. So then eventually, most of them piled up, I guess it was gate 5 from what I understand, and that gate was locked. In fact, all the gates were locked. And I got to talk to Noemi, which is my other cousin, other nephew's wife, and she said that people literally pushed those fences down to get out of there.
There were no emergency releases on the gates. That's almost incredible.
It is. To me, it sounds like it was planned. Certain part of it was planned from the inside. Those people desperately were trying to get out. Most of them piled up around gate 5. That's where the majority of the casualties were. And the majority of the people that were wounded right
there. As far as you know, there were 22,000 people in this enclosure, and all the gates were locked.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. The idea that one person did this is so absurd, it ought to be violently offensive to people. And yet they've been fed this line of a lone gunman over and over again. What did your nephew have to say about this when he heard about it, that they were trying to blame this on one 64-year-old man?
Well, when he first heard about it, it was when he was in the hospital and the FBI came in to talk to him. And the FBI is such a joke on this whole thing for so many different reasons, but they basically, he's in vain trying to tell them his story. And they're like, no, that's not what happened.
Okay, so the FBI visited him in his hospital room. He's in bed And one or two agents came in, and he said, I've got to tell you what happened. He tried to tell his story, and what happened?
They just said, no, that's not what happened. We're going to tell you what happened. And this is across the board. I'm hearing this from all these people. And that's one reason that people are starting to shut up or clamming up. It's another reason. And they did the same thing with the hotels, with the security that was working there. From what I've been told, there was direct threats of obstruction of justice. If you talk about this, basically, we're going to give you the narrative that you're going to follow. And if you do anything else, it's going to be obstruction of justice. So everybody at first was just, I was really amazed that not much was coming out. Then I found out why. And now you have all of the injured people, so many of the injured people, and they're afraid to talk now. They don't know what's going on. So this is a massive attempt to cover up this terrorist attack.
My sources tell me the same thing is happening to people in Mandalay Bay, that they're being talked to and told to shut up. They're going to take this lone gunman thing as far as they humanly can. It's going to take some very brave people to stand up and countermand that, like you're doing right now.
I want your listeners to know, I was born and raised in this valley. I got five generations. My mother is in the Gaming Hall of Fame as the longest woman in gaming.
Wow.
I got two brothers, one retired from one of the hotel casinos. My nephews worked there. Mm-hmm. Two sisters worked there. I know literally hundreds of people that have worked, are working in the casino industry. I have had calls after call after call. And some of the information I am getting, of course, it's all secondhand. But these are very reliable sources. I'm getting calls from people, security people, saying that the FBI, the government, is doing all they can to shape this narrative. And they did go in, they took their videos, but that was never a problem. But when you try to go through the computers and make sure they didn't save any of the videos, now you got a problem. And that's the problem you're having.
Okay, and, when you say Brand, you're talking about the FBI going around to try to get every security cam video and get the originals. But there are copies that have been made, and that's where they're running into a little difficulty. They can't be sure they've got all the copies.
Yeah, they want to go through the hotel's computers and make sure nothing has been saved. Well, this is when all of a sudden the cooperation stopped. You're hearing that D.C. called the FBI back. Well, I guess you could say that, but it's more like the hotels that take a hike for the security. This is like 9/11 all over again when they went and the Oklahoma City bombing, when they go and confiscate all the evidence and they hide it for years and years and years if it ever does come out. Well, a lot of these people that work security in these hotels, that's a part-time job. Their full-time job is working for Metro Police Department. All right.
Oh, interesting.
So,
yeah. Well, that brings up, Sheriff Lombardo, who had the strength of character to say somebody had to help Paddock along the way. He didn't do this all alone. And what happened right after he said that was a news conference. The FBI stepped up and slapped him down. So there's a split there, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. And your listeners need to understand that Sheriff Lombardo at the Bundy standoff, he was the one that sent the BLM packing, okay? Between him and Sheriff Tom Roberts.
Uh-huh.
So, and here they are prosecuting the people there and the Bundys, the protesters, for obstruction of justice and, interfering with federal officers and the performance of their duties. Well, I know damn well that's what they got over on Lombardo. They have told him that if you don't play ball with us, we're going to prosecute you on this, and you'll spend the rest of your life in prison. That's what's happening.
Well, all the more reason to honor that man for making the statement that he did. He didn't go any further. He said, Paddock, I don't know if he named it by name, but he said the suspect had to have some help along the way. Now, come on, obviously. This is a major operation, probably triangulated, as Brand is saying. We're talking with Brand Thornton, five generations in Las Vegas, and his nephew was there, his wife was there. Did you come close to going yourself?
No, I believe it or not, I have to be really careful. I haven't told anybody about this. This will be an exclusive for you. It looks very much like there was a tent on my life just a few days before that. I was hit by a vehicle, an SUV, blacked out windows, crossed three lanes of traffic, tried to T-bomb me and knocked me into the oncoming traffic. There's a police report on it. They've got videos of it. They can't find them. They can't find them. And I knew immediately that there was something up with this way. They come just charging out of the parking lot and headed right for me. And I did take evasive action. It would have been much worse if I had not seen them. They went over and the other, this was eastbound. They go into the westbound lane. I pull over there behind them and I'm just going to see if they're going to come and see me. I'm not going to go see them. You know, if they come out with their paperwork, fine. Uh-huh. You know, their insurance cards, registration, things of that nature. They're not coming. So I immediately start calling the police. And, I'm 5 minutes goes by. And finally get the police, they're on the way. I hold the phone out the window, let them know the police are on the way. And then they just take off like a bat out of hell.
People are going to say, well, okay, Brand, finish your story. I got to go ahead. The officer what?
Well, the officer came to me and visited me in when I was in the hospital. I have a torn ACL, torn meniscus, going to require surgery.
From the impact
yes.
Of the SUV, the blacked out SUV.
Yes, yes. And he tells me we'll have no problem finding these people. Well, now we're going on 2 weeks. I have called multiple times. When I do get a hold of them, they just tell me we have nothing new to tell you except for we have detectives on the case now.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know. And I have been followed, so I stay away. I'm almost a hermit. Okay, and I stay away from all those type of places to answer your question.
It sounds like my life. I don't go out anywhere anymore. I mean, I had my thing 2 years ago, and I'm very lucky to be here. So I understand what happened to you. Thank God it was only your knee. That's a big deal. And the reason that there was an attempt made, that's obviously what happened, on Brad Thornton, a Brand. What tell our listeners why you would be targeted, Brand?
Well, I've been very high profile all the way back to the Bundy standoff. I was right there facing off 40 yards away from the BLM through that whole thing. I'm scheduled to be testify in the upcoming trials. I have
you're a key witness for the defense. All right. I just want to make that clear.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have something that's very important. I testified. I'm one of the original occupiers of the Malheur Refuge, the only one that never got arrested. I testified up in that case multiple times. And they actually at one time had an indictment ready for me for perjury and conspiracy. They came to an agreement with the defense that if I did not testify, then I would not be arrested. So they know all about me. I know all about them. And I have been followed multiple times.
Right.
So, you know, and then here I go. I'm going to be testifying in the upcoming trial. And again, just like up in Oregon, what I got to say is a bombshell. All right. And and I'm pretty sure they know what I got to say. So.
Okay. Let's go back to your nephew who is in hospital now, and the FBI comes
in. He's out. Yes.
All right. How many visits from the FBI? Just the one in the hospital?
As I understand, it was just one. So the FBI is probably spread pretty thin going to see all these people in the hospital, you know, over 500 people in the hospital.
Now, in that your nephew was a survivor and witness to the one woman, at least, dying, is he going to be called in, I guess, as part of a larger investigation? Who's doing the investigation, Metro or the FBI or both? Are they going to try and split it up? Who's claiming priority? How's it going to play out? This is going to go on for a long time. They got hundreds, over 500 people to talk to.
Metro has taken it over completely, from what I understand. I know from reports that FBI is kind of following Lombardo around at this point in time. There's no more cooperation with the hotels and the FBI, so it's totally up to Metro at this point in time.
When you say no more cooperation, so there's bad feelings. They're just not going to deal with the FBI. They basically have told them, this is ours, you're out of here.
Yeah, and now D.C. has reported that they pulled the FBI off the investigation. It's just the opposite. You know, how D.C. is always in damage control. The hotels, everything I'm getting back again, what I'm being told, is they just said, we're done with you. All right, we will work with Metro, but we're not going to work with you.
What else did your nephew have to say?
Well, you know, I actually had to pump him to get information out of him. And there's other reasons that his parents are extremely liberal. They kind of walk the party line. I'm sure he's been warned about me. You know, it's all in the family, but I'm sure he's been warned about me. His biggest thing that he keeps talking about is I don't know how I can get over the things that I've seen. He said, Uncle Brand, I can't get these images out of my mind. He said, I saw horrible, horrible things. And that's really what he's struggling with right now, more than anything else. More than anything else. It's been suggested to him by people that he needs to file a lawsuit right away. And he's so frozen, he told me, he said, I'm not going to do anything at this point. So I got about as much out of him as I'm going to get out of him. I'm going to give him some space for a while. We were at a fundraiser with him last night, and, you know, we just kind of chit-chatted. But he's still not in the talking mode. I think he's very, very nervous to the fact that he knows there was multiple shooters, and that not only has the FBI come in and told him, no, this is one, but there's major media outlets. Now, he had already been approached by three major media outlets that had told him, this is what you saw. They asked for his story. He started to tell them, no. They cut him off. That's not what happened. That's not what we're going to report. Now, when I was at his house, there was a fourth one that was coming over, and I left. I told him, I said, you know what, if they start this crap while I'm here, we're going to have some problems, so I'm just going to get up and leave. But those are the type of things he's having to deal with, and it's overwhelming at this point.
When we talk about other employees of the hotel, this is from my source now, being told to shut up. That they know already that their jobs are on the line if they talk too much. This is a major conspiracy. Everyone talks about conspiracy theory. Well, this is a conspiracy, and it was a very well-planned one. What are your thoughts on, you've been involved with this whole Bundy thing, what are your thoughts about the triangulation, what your nephew said? How well-planned, how many shooters do you think, and how did they get away with it?
I'm going to interject Naomi here. That's my nephew Raymond's wife. She works for Mandalay Bay.
Okay.
She was working that night at one of the little mobile bars they have.
Okay.
I'm an engineer. I knew exactly what she was talking. They're very mobile. They have outlets where they plug them in.
Okay.
And then they got little air conditioning.
Now, she is there with you.
She was there at the concert. Yes,
uh-huh.
She was there at the concert.
Mm-hmm.
She was working very close to what they call the VIP section, which are like little casitas with glass fronts that has air conditioning in those casitas.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I worked on those things. They're very flimsy. There was an EMT tent there. Which is put up when you got that many people, you got to have some way of taking care of people that either get sick, fall and hurt themselves or something like that. So that was right next door where she was working. They started taking fire. It was, the shots were all around them. They tried to hide, get down. They could not. And finally they decided to leave also. All her coworkers, including herself, are unanimous in the decision or the thought process that there were numerous shooters. She said you could hear them from different directions, far away, very close up, kind of close up, all around them. She went back with her coworkers to gather up their things and went into that area where they were working. She said it was shot all to hell. If they had they stayed there, there's no way they would have survived. So she had the opportunity to talk to all her coworkers, and they had had the opportunity to talk to many other people that were there that night that weren't working, but did work for the Mandalay Bay, but they were there for the entertainment. Every one of them had said there were shooters everywhere. So, you know,
Let me point something out. When you go to the top of the homepage and you look into the live fire video section, these videos prove multiple shooters. That's not an overstatement. You need to look at them, listen to them if you haven't, view them. Some are just audio, of course, but they are really inarguably truthful. It is what it was. And there's one right above it. Let's see, is it right above it? I think it is, which is a compendium. It's a complete Metro Dispatch recording of all of the scanner traffic. It's right below, you'll see the green up there, and live fire video section. It's the first story below that. Stunning Las Vegas police scanner recording, active shooter, halfway up Mandalay Bay. That was one of the original reports from an officer on the scene who was watching the shooting at the bottom of the hotel. He was right there looking up. He said it was about halfway up. There were other descriptions that you'll hear in that recording. It is the police scanner official recording, their traffic, condensed with all the extra noise taken out. And we thank the person who sent that in. So you want to listen to that. I'll tell you right now, once you start listening to it, you can't stop. It's that fascinating to hear how this thing went down. There were also reports of people at ground level at one of the gates. One officer said, confirmed shooter, I'm paraphrasing, ground level at gate X, Y, or Z. I forget which number gate it was. And I'm assuming that these gates were all around. Those were the locked gates to allow people to get into the concert venue and then ultimately to exit. So they had a confirmation from one officer of one shooter at ground level.
And this is what all the people were there were saying. I did an interview for my my one nephew's wife, Naomi, and this is exactly what she's saying. She said there were shooters at ground level. There were shooters far away. She said you could tell just by the shots. She said that she estimated there was at least four different positions that shots were coming from. So how they going to cover this up, I just don't see it. I think part of it is they're trying to make the potential customers, you know, patrons that visit Las Vegas to feel more comfortable. I don't think that's going to make them feel more comfortable at all when you cover up something like this. And they are using wands. From what I understand, I was at the fundraiser, which is just a very small place off the strip. It's called Stoney's Country something or other. And they wand us as we're going in. And I understand this is everywhere now. So they know that there was more than one shooter.
How many do you think there were? Just as a guess.
Well, let me tell you this. Okay, this is unofficial. It came from a security person that works part-time security and full-time for Metro. Okay, I got a third hand. They killed seven of these people. So how many of them escaped? You know, I
seven shooters were taken down.
Yes.
That's what you're getting from your friends in Metro. Seven shooters of this operation were shot down and killed.
Shot down and killed. Identified, run down, chased down, shot down and killed. And you're not hearing nothing about that.
No, nothing at all.
Nothing at all. So if that is in fact true, and you know, these are good sources, so I do believe it, there's seven right there. Now, part of this whole story is they were doing drive-by shootings at the same time on the other casinos. For example, the Bellagio, Tropicana, New York, New York. I've got a son that works at New York, New York. Okay? He knows all these people. The windows were all shot out. Security was in high alert. They put people, you know, in corners and tried to protect them. And eyewitnesses, the Bellagio, the front windows were shot out. Okay? So there were. This was a very, very sophisticated thing that took place, and there were shooters basically all over that part of the strip.
I have a video made by a Bellagio guest or someone who went into the lobby there to get away from all the noise, showing everybody on the ground sitting. They were cleared out of the casino area. They were told not to go to the back. We have no pictures of the blown out glass. I would suggest that if it was in fact shot out, it was repaired in record time. The local news media there is completely controlled by the city. Let's just put it that way. The city is Las Vegas. Las Vegas is business. The news media is there to serve the city. And the news media wouldn't even send a reporter out to the Bellagio. They had a reporter, my old station, sitting, I believe, in the studio somewhere with a backdrop, and just saying that there were numerous reports of Bellagio trouble, but we found out that there was nothing there, and dismissed another report from the Aria Hotel and another report from another one. Nothing happened. Don't worry. Be happy. They didn't even send a team out to go look. So there you go. That's called fake news.
Well, there's an excellent video of the taxi cab driver that was at the Bellagio. As a lady, and you listen to her, that video that she recorded, that shooting was right on top of her. You could hear shooting at a distance, and then you could hear shooting right on top of her. So that lends a lot of credibility to these other reports that windows were shot out.
And what do you know about New York, New York?
My son works there. Evidently, there was shooting that took place around there, but if nothing was hit, but there was shooting that took place there. So at this point in time, I really don't have anything else to say about that.
When you have media that is completely complicit and is in fact in the fake news business, I don't care what level you're talking on, national news, local news, it doesn't matter. They're beholden, all of them, to somebody. And since the Clintons deregulated the news business, it's a simple fact of life that six corporations control 95%+ of all the media in this country, and they'll control the news agenda from now on. It's never going to change. It's all controlled.
Yeah. I don't trust them. I don't trust the news media one bit, and I don't trust the FBI about as far as I control. Neither one.
Well, not especially after the Bundy situation.
Yeah. Well, then you got the whole history of what happened up there, the Malheur with the execution, assassination of LaVoie Finicum. I mean, that's so cut and dry what took place there. And it's a whole nother story, of course. But all the lies that took place with the FBI, Greg Brentzing, you know, there's just, and if you go back historically, Waco, Texas, Ruby Ridge, there's no, I just can't imagine anybody putting any faith or confidence in the FBI. And then they can't even arrest Hillary Clinton. Give me a break.
No. The company involved, they call it the company sometimes, the CIA. It doesn't matter. All the intelligence agencies are simply tentacles of control and domination. And they do what they're told. In fact, many times they don't even have to be told what to do. They just automatically do it. All right. Now, yeah. As far as the, I have a video, one of the many up there, that at 40, I think it's 43 seconds, you can hear one of the bullets. This is for all you people who think they were blanks. You can hear one bullet hit the concrete and ricochet off. Unmistakable sound. So that bullet probably came from a higher elevation. It looks like we don't know what happened on the 32nd floor with Mr. Paddock, but I've done a photo analysis and it looks very clearly like a stage set. Things are laid out in such a way. We were able to figure out with some digital enhancements that the revolver that is seen on the floor 3 feet above his head is covered with blood. And there's a drip line of blood from the blood pool to the revolver. Now, how did that happen? Very strange. It's not
How many rounds were fired?
There's no brass. There's no brass there.
There's no brass. There's a handful of brass here.
That's right. It looked like it was sprinkled around. Some people suggest that the adjoining room, which is where the other window was busted out, is where all the brass might be. Well, if that were the case, they would have shown images of the other room and the brass. But the photos that were leaked, and they weren't really leaked because you and I both know that a Metro policeman took those pictures, 72 DPI, and they were released intentionally so people could see a dead shooter. It helps close the narrative about the lone gunman. Oh, he's dead. Okay, well, we can kind of close that door now. Well, it didn't work quite that way because when you look at the picture, you see a lot of problems. The gun covered with blood, not splattered, as if it was laying in blood, which I believe is exactly what happened. Then it was picked up and moved away from the body to position it 3 feet above the head. The body is on its back, facing away from the gun, hands and arms at the sides of the body, which makes a distance of at least 6 feet from the hand to the gun. And it's facing the wrong direction. So there's something wrong. Also, over his left ankle is the tripod and barrel of one of the assault rifles over his leg. So when you shoot yourself, does your leg somehow manage to stick itself under a tripod assault rifle? I don't think so. So it appears it was set there with intent to send a signal to somebody. I don't know what kind of a signal, but that's a pretty big screw-up right there, and it goes on. Now, one thing I've done this several times, I'm going to do it again. And for all of you out there who haven't heard this video, it's only about 60 seconds long. I'm just going to play it because Bran Thornton's nephew and his wife are survivors. We're getting this secondhand, but essentially firsthand, right from the nephew. And I want you to listen to this, Brand. I don't know if you've heard this or not. Tell me how many different weapons you hear firing simultaneously here. All right?
Okay.
Now there's a pause, and then the shooting begins again. This, I think, is to get people to get up and move around so they're easier targets. Okay, Brand, how many did you hear, do you think?
Well, I know I heard at least two.
At least two.
That much I can. At least two.
Yeah, I've come up with four after many listenings. I'm going to back it up, and at 43 seconds, you'll hear that ricochet. It goes twang real fast, but I'll try and pick it for you here. Coming up now. Listen. There it is. You hear it?
Yeah.
There it was. All right. So you got a ricochet in there. Clearly isolatable. You can pull it out. You can look at it on a scope. There may be ways to figure out caliber. I don't know. I'm sure there are a lot of bullet holes in that concrete that are going to have to be patched. I don't think anyone's being allowed in there yet that I know of. I haven't seen any stories to that. But in general, the number of stories coming out of Las Vegas, Brand, are very minimal at this point because the lid has been closed down on this. They just don't. It's bad for business. They don't want people talking about this in any way. Yep. So right away, we've got confirmation from Brand, whose nephew, a survivor, and his nephew's wife, survivor, another friend, survivors, that they are being told to shut up. Sound familiar? You bet it does. Yeah. This is standard operating procedure for a controlled event like this. And we know how many people in Oklahoma City, for example, died under mysterious circumstances after that. We know how many people in New York have died for many different reasons. And I would suggest that there may be unexplained fatalities, sadly, to follow here. If some of the hotel staff doesn't play ball, this is a huge deal. There's a lot riding on this, a tremendous amount.
Well, you hit the nail right on the head when you said, you know, this will, if we have one more of these, Las Vegas will come to their knees. Tourism will be shot. And one thing I want to say is there are so many layers to this whole thing. I've said over and over again, the government, at least one layer or one level, has got to be involved. I think there's multiple agencies. I think they're all involved in it in different ways. They might not even have known. For example, you might have the CIA there, and they were working with ISIS, and you have the FBI thought they're going to have a sting going, and the whole thing blew up in their face. Or they even knew that these agencies were involved, because this is chaos, and they're looking for order out of chaos. There's no way that this thing is one shooter, one deranged shooter. This thing is so, there's just so much to it. There's so much to it. And it gets you going in so many different directions. It's very hard, at least in some places, to pin down anything positive. And I think this is part of the design. And then they send in all their media, send in the FBI, and then it becomes textbook cover-up. And you know, and I'm just hoping and praying that people will not buy into this. People got to understand who's behind this and that this, there's a lot more to this. And one other thing I want to say is how they have tried to tie this into Clive and Bundy in these upcoming trials. You know, remember what Rahm Emanuel said? You know, you can't waste a good crisis. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. And that, and you know, at least in some point, I think that was part of the focus, is to poison the jury pool here in Vegas for these upcoming trials. They are trying to kill multiple birds with one stone. I truly believe that.
Well, they may get away with it. We should also mention that some good news last week. Pete Santilli was released and will not have to face trial in Las Vegas as we thought he would. He was facing life in prison, and he made a deal. They sat down. He had a tremendous defense lined up, and they knew it was going to be trouble to get a conviction, I think, and they did offer him a deal. I talked to Pete the morning after he was released, and they sat him down and basically made the offer. And he thought about it overnight, and he did. He had to cop a plea to obstructing a federal vehicle, and that's it. And they let him out. So that's good news indeed.
Yeah.
Brand, having family members survive this is harrowing. You've done a wonderful job. In a way, you've probably done a better job at describing this because you weren't there physically. And we appreciate that very much. Let me know if anything else happens, if I can do anything for you.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, Brand. Good night.
God bless. Bye-bye.
You too. Brand Thornton and his nephew survived, niece survived, or his wife survived, and another friend survived. All right, there you go. We'll be right back with hour number three. This is such a busy night. Thank you. Hang on. We shall continue in just a few minutes.